Hi there, and welcome to Original Lines. I'm your host, Laura Allen, and today we're talking with Seattle artist Kelly Lyles. Kelly is a painter, designer, illustrator, curator, and all-around maker of fabulous things. Her art cars and her house, as well as her artwork, have been featured in television shows and numerous national publications. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
You are one of the most abundantly creative people that I think I have ever met in my life. You make so many things. You do so many things. How do you do all of these things?
But that's so funny because I don't see it that way at all. I always say I'm a one-trick pony. I'm a pretty good painter. I'm not a great painter, but I'm a pretty good painter. But I don't think I do anything else other than paint. Then somebody said, well, no, you're an assemblage artist with your car. I went, oh, I guess so, yeah. Mm-hmm. But my first car was painted, you know, and then I started gluing stuff on. Mm-hmm. So I always, you know, I look at people like Troy Gua, that anything the guy does, he does well, and so many different media. And I'm in awe of people that take chances, that take risks. Uh-huh. And I don't know if there's some subliminal, I don't want to fail thing, or just, I think of it more as just laziness. No, I don't want to learn a new skill. I'm too old. But well, thank you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I would say I've been to your house. I mean, your it's everything you touch turns into artwork. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at your outfit today. This is awesome. It's this beautiful, beautiful magenta and pink and orange with this great coat. Everything you touch seems to turn into an art piece.
Oh, thank you.
If you don't give yourself credit for that, I certainly will. You are
thank
very...
You. I think I'm a creative dresser, you know.
And your cars and everything. And you also do curation too, right?
Yeah. Kind of not fell into that accidentally, but it was... I don't remember how I started maybe 10 or 15 years ago locally at Arts West. They had... I put up a drawing show, and it was more just I didn't have enough pieces, so I asked a few friends. So I do it intermittently. I do quite a bit with June Sekiguchi, and we do these ERA facilities. She does it, and she sort of subcontracts to me sometimes, because we both love to travel.
Yeah.
But I was doing the Like Mother show. I don't know if you saw that
one. The one at... Where is that?
Well, it's been at four venues, and I stayed up way too late last night pitching it to the Tacoma Art Museum, too. Oh. But it's been at, it started at Shoreline City Hall, then it moved to, and each time it adds new pieces, and then it moved to Magnuson Park's Art
That's
Gallery.
That's where I saw it, yes.
Yeah. And that was and they were great to work with, nice people, beautiful space. Then we had it at Art Exchange in Pioneer Square, and that's a multicultural focused gallery, and they were, again, wonderful to work with. Plus, they took all these great pictures, because that is not one of my strong suits. I did not have good images, and they, you know, gave me files of all these beautiful photos. And then lastly, it was at Gallery One in Ellensburg. Everybody in Central and Eastern Washington knows about it, but not enough people in Seattle know about it. It's a fantastic gallery. I love their taste. The people, it seems like it's mostly women run, and they just, we have the same taste. So, of course, it's good taste.
Yes, absolutely.
But they do really fun, creative shows and beautifully curated, and it's two stories. It's just a great place to go. Like, what, an hour and a half from Seattle?
Yeah, it's not that far.
Yep. Yeah. So I want to keep this show moving. It was all women artists, primarily women artists. We slipped in a couple men doing pieces about our mothers. There was a lot of friends losing their moms, and we all had a hard time getting over it. Or, you know, you realize their impact and all the things you forgot to ask after they've passed away. So somebody kept saying, well, let's, you know, do a piece about your mom. I know a friend of mine, Lana Sundberg. We have a little get together of women once a month at different houses. And she'd said, let's all bring something about our moms. The one was like a pilot in the 40s. And one, you know, lived in the Panama Canal and through, you know, was a debutante and daughter of a naval officer. And they all had really fascinating, you know, huge lives that we forget when they turn into little old people. And and those ERA shows, we've curated one called Visual Biographies, where the artists do a piece about one of the seniors living at this building. And again, these people were doctors in Africa and, you know, flew planes and World War or whatever and, you know, decorated and were just so dismissive, me included. You know, I don't pay enough attention. And
so how did the shows work out with the art, with the stories? I mean, was everybody able to kind of get together? And
with my art show that I curated, I insisted that everybody had to put up a story about their mother. Or, I mean, make a statement.
Right.
It wasn't just the art. They had to say something. And a couple people said like two lines. My mom liked green. Other people went on for four pages. And I was like, yeah, try to keep it to 1.5 by 11.
Right. It's bigger than the art piece.
And one woman said, no, I don't want to because, you know, I didn't particularly like my mom or something. Mm-hmm. I went, well, then you don't have a choice. You're either putting the work in or not.
Yeah.
But if the work is in, and say that, you know, we didn't have to say she was a great mom.
Yeah.
So she did. She left it kind of ambiguous, but it was pretty clear. And it was a beautiful piece. But when it moved to Gallery One in Ellensburg, they sent me like 20 artists to look at. You know, they wanted to include locals too. So I whittled it down to a few of those. But so of the ones that we whittled it down to, all of them, they did really good work, really strong pieces. And Nancy Warden did this huge chandelier all about ALS, all Emmett and her family with ALS. And there were some really powerful pieces. But almost all of the ones that they added had really sad or horrifying incest, abuse.
Really?
You know, one just about neglect and, you know, how the mom loved the sister and tuned, you know. A sad little bunny that kept hoping she was adopted. Or they were all these heartrending stories. What happens over in Central Washington? I really was happy for it because to me it fleshed out the show a lot.
Yeah.
It was much more well-rounded in a sense, having those, you know.
Yeah, the alternate.
Yeah.
Why do people make art? Why do you think that people make art?
A man I know, and he's a schizophrenic, and has had a, you know, really rough life because he on and off the meds and, you know, substance abuse, etc. But he told me 20 or 30 years ago, I make art because I have to. He said, it's not fun. I don't like it. I have to do it.
Hmm.
And I thought, that is a real artist. You know, I do it when I have time, when I feel like it, when I got a show coming up. People maybe like you think I'm out there all the time. No, I hardly ever. You know, I'm in the studio maybe one day a week.
Yeah.
I will find every excuse. In fact, I had a housemate years ago who said, you know, oh, you're doing the dishes. Clearly you have an art project out there you're avoiding. Or, you know, if you saw me vacuuming going, all right, what are you avoiding in the studio?
Right.
You find every excuse not to. But so I'm more product-oriented, I think, versus driven. I go to a lot of art openings. I absorb a lot of art in my life. Every day I'm at an art opening or watching something about art. So I use the excuse, oh, my life is art, instead of my worker. I don't know. It is, you know, there must be some attention thing in there. But then others, artists I know, you know, like this guy, just do it for themselves, are never going to sell it, are never going to, you know, I have friends that won't sell their art, which to me is bizarre.
Right.
And my one friend, I keep pointing out, you know, your kids are throwing it all into Goodwill bins when you die because he does not want to sell it. And he has hundreds of paintings.
Yeah.
Where I would be thrilled to sell more. Yes. But, I don't know. It was encouraged in my house to make art. You know, my parents were both, they did some acting and, you know, my mother was very creative in the way she threw dinner parties and, you know, had every... Even wrapping packages was creative. You know, back in the 20s and 30s, they probably weren't encouraged to make art for a living. My father was a good artist. He didn't do it professionally, but he did act semi-professionally on the side. And they both had radio shows and TV shows. And so it was creativity, at least, was encouraged in my household. My brother's a commercial photographer. He went to art school. Where the sad thing is how many... I teach a drawing class once a week. And all these, and I started to say kids, but it's an adult class, so a lot of them are in their 80s. You know, some they'll say, I was discouraged from taking art, and now that my one even said, I had to wait till my mother died to take an art class. And that's horrifying. That, you know, the parents all said, you're not going to make any money. Well, it's just sad that everything in our society is equated with cash. But it should not be an either or whatever. And, you know, isn't there some cities in Africa or towns where everybody is considered an artist? And I don't know the why. I just know it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good. As much as I put it off and will do everything in my power not to go into the studio, once I do, I don't want to stop. And, well, I'll just stop in 10 minutes. And all of a sudden it's 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's a good time to take a quick break.
Oh, good.
We'll be right back with Kelly Lyles. Hey there. Do you know that you can find Original Lines on both iTunes and Stitcher? So whether you have an iPhone or Android, you can always catch the latest episode. Be sure to subscribe to us, and please, we love reviews. Thanks. Hi there. We're back now with artist Kelly Lyles. And Kelly, how did you get involved with making art cars?
Well, art cars are definitely my passion now. I was up far too late writing a grant for that, too, and thinking, why do I do all this work? I love that, you know, I'm an ex-Catholic, so there's a lot of the guilt and martyrdom model in the back of my brain.
Yeah.
I produce a car show here, an art car show here at the Fremont Fair, and we get 50 to 75 cars so every year. So, and we house them, fund them, and feed them, throw parties for them, entertain them, and also pay their gas to get here. So it can cost, depending on what gas prices are, mm-hmm. I watch those gas prices because there's a big difference in how much it'll cost us, but you know, when gas is $2.50 a gallon versus $5 a gallon. Mm-hmm. So it can cost us up to $14,000 to produce this show. But it's basically like-minded people that glue some crap on their car or paint or weld or decorate in any way, modify their vehicle. And there's thousands of us around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And Google art cars. Some of us spell it. We always argue about whether it's one word or two. Uh-huh. This is the big controversy in the community. But I got many years ago, I think I had a 1960 Falcon, which my then boyfriend had bought me, and it was an adorable car, but something was always wrong with it. Yeah, it was really cute, and there are great cars to have if you know how to fix things. Well, I don't, and it would involve a trip to the junkyard every time. You know, you can't just go to the neighborhood store and buy it. And this is pre-internet or heavily used internet. So I wanted a more reliable car. So I went to look for, in my budget, I was looking at a Subaru, and it had 100,000 miles on it. Well, I didn't know much about cars because that probably was a pretty great car that would have lasted for years.
Right.
But instead, the guy had a Pinto, a Ford Pinto, you know, the same guy I went to. He said, well, my uncle just left me this. You probably don't want a Pinto. And it only had 15,000 miles on it. So in my brain, 15 versus 100. So I took the Pinto.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, I'm sure it died long before that Subaru ever did. But after I left, it was like, oh, I didn't quite picture myself as the Pinto type. I thought I was more the Volvo P1800 sports car type. So thought I better do something. And I had it in my head that I wanted to paint it. Didn't have a clue how to paint a car. Never occurred to me one could paint one's own car.
Mm-hmm.
My then boyfriend at the time was he made fun of people that even had vanity plates.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have the guts to tell him that what I planned on doing, and I waited till he was out of town. The car got hit. Yeah, I know, with great relationship, right?
Yeah.
If you're not even, you're too embarrassed to even admit to your partner, would you? And he's a wonderful man, sweet, sweet, sweet guy. And in the end, he loved it, which is, again, typical. Fear holds us back. Other people's opinions, and he loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're still good buddies. I think he's very proud of my cars. I was trying to figure out how to afford a paint job because, again, it didn't occur to me I could paint my own car. And the car got hit. Well, it needed a paint job.
Uh-huh.
You know, watch out what you ask for because, you know, the universe provides in mysterious ways. So I took it to Soundford in Bellevue, you know, ritzy part of town, and brought in all these pictures of horses because I wanted it painted like a Pinto.
Uh-huh.
And spent an hour with the guy going over pictures of horses. And I hadn't realized I was dressed in a cowgirl outfit, I guess, subliminally. But he said, you really want a $1,000 paint job on a $500 car? Yeah. So they did it for half price. And when I picked the car up, they had, they painted a brown and white spots like a Pinto pony.
Uh-huh.
And they had glued Giddy App onto the accelerator.
Oh!
Trot, I think, was first gear. Stable was park.
Oh, my God.
Whoa was on the brake.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was really cute. And so I ran into one of the guys recently, and, you know, 20 years later, mm-hmm. he's like, I remember you. We mm-hmm. did your car. So it was fun. And then I had horse hood ornaments, and my mechanic put love, without my knowing it, put Love Me Tender blinkers in there. So the first time I turned left, it started playing Elvis. But I had fun with it, drove that car for 10 years. Somebody gave me a book about art cars. Mm-hmm. I wrote a fan letter to the author, Herod Blank, and he must have added me to some mailing list of his, and I started going to, they did had an art car show in Portland, mm-hmm. and I drove to that and became, now they're all my buddies, and you know, I produced the shows here. My second art car, Leopard Bernstein, which was 700 lions and tigers and leopards, named after my favorite stuffed animal when I was a child, Leopard Bernstein. That one is now in Herod's Museum. Herod has an art car museum in Douglas, Arizona, right on the Mexico border. I don't remember how many cars he's got, but he's got some fantastic, you know, old retired the show ponies that can no longer.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, we just have a blast together. There's art car people from, I think, like 16-year-olds that get their first car, mm-hmm. up to one guy passed away about 4 years ago, and he was 97.
Wow.
And he had an Aboriginal art car called the Oscar. And he was, I think his daughter lived in Australia or something, but it was a beautiful car. He went bungee jumping for his 95th birthday. Mm. He wouldn't caravan with anyone. We drive in packs, you know, when we drive on long distances, and he wouldn't because he wanted to drive faster.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he was a cool old guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it runs the gamut of age. It runs the gamut of education. One of the funniest guys has an 8th grade education. I love that man. He can say hello and I laugh. He's just got the best sense of humor, up to PhDs, doctors, you know, lawyers, and, yeah, you know, house cleaners, whatever. Yeah. Get up or singers.
Yeah.
But it's a fun group. The only common denominator to me is a sense of humor.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you, are you've done 5 or 6 cars, right? Is this?
I've made 5 of them. Mm-hmm. I've only owned 3 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I had the Pinto, then I had Leopard Bernstein, and each of them I had for 10 years. And then my current one is the Accessories Odyssey, which mm-hmm. is all, and it's spelled E-X-C-E-S. It's the excess of women's accessories, because I love accessories. I love fashion. And the front is a magnetic paper doll with my little outfits in miniature.
Uh-huh.
I was wearing this green skirt last week, and one of my girlfriends was going crazy for this skirt that actually another art car woman had made. But I said, it's been on the hood of my car. She said, I've never seen this before. I said, well, you've seen the miniature on the front of my car for 10 years. You never commented on it. But then I've made 2 other ones, one for an art car event where we just had, you know, somebody donated the car for us to modify and, you know, in 2 days. And then I made another one for, actually, Herod Blank, my mm-hmm. hero, who has written all the books and movies about us and runs the museum. He bought it. It was made by another friend of ours. She had art cars, and she was dying, actually, diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. So she was donating her car to Herod's Museum. And on the road trip to take it out there with her husband, we said to him, well, we don't want to lose you to the group. You know, let's get you a car too. And mm-hmm. what do you like? And you're, well, I guess I like birds. So that weekend at the museum, I painted birds all over this car. And then she flew me down a couple more times to keep adding to it. He drove it for a while, but had too many cars, and he offered any of them for sale. And whoever bought, you know, which one. He had several Priuses. This was a Prius. And Les Blank, the filmmaker, mm-hmm. bought it. So it got a little bit of media attention through that, because Les was a wonderful filmmaker. He just passed away a few years ago. He was honored at the Oscars and stuff. And so when he passed away, his son Herod got it. So it's kind of great for me that here, and Herod travels the world. The State Department hired him to go show art car movies in other countries. And art cars are about as American as it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. The love affair with our cars, the love affair with modification and doing things yourself and creativity.
Yep.
I mean, Americans love creativity. It's one of those paradoxes. America has so many just totally bizarre paradoxes. And one of them is our just love affair with the creative, but then the woman who's...
Can you make a dime on it?
Exactly. So it's like this weird paradox. We love it when it happens. Like, you go beyond the thing, and then everybody loves it. This is a fantastic thing. But if it's you going to do it, or your family or somebody close to you, it's like, oh, no, we must not do that. It's just strangest thing.
Well, even with clothes, I get that all the time going, mm-hmm. well, you can wear that, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't. And friend, you know, people, not friends, but different people have asked me to take them shopping. But then anytime you find anything, oh, hell no, I couldn't. I could. And it's like, I get it. You don't want to dress like me. That's fine. But don't tell me you can't, because anyone can.
Well, every time they say that, you know what they mean. What they mean is, I would love to, but
I wouldn't be caught dead in that.
I would feel, no, that, but I'm afraid. There's some, like, I'm afraid to. Like, that I would love to do that, but there's something holding me back.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you kind of hear that. Yeah, I mean, I hear that with art and everything. I would love to be able, you know, I just couldn't do that. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, well,
yeah, you could.
You could.
Whether you want to
you
or
may
not
like it once you start doing it. Yeah. But you, that's the thing. I mean, it's with all the things you do, it must be hard to juggle everything, right? I mean, doing the art, the curation, the art car, like all the stuff that you do, isn't it? I mean, it's work, right?
Yeah. I got in a little bit of I was annoyed, we'll just put it that way, with a friend of mine who she cancels on things a lot. Uh-huh. And, you know, has left me stranded with theater tickets and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So she had said to me, well, you don't understand because you don't have a 9-to-5. You know, John tired after work, and so, you know, so she cancels short notice. But she said, no, I don't, but I have like 8 jobs. You know, you got the one where, from what I can see of your posts on Facebook, you spend a lot of time in your cubicle,
right,
not working.
Posting, yeah.
So, you know, when you're, there's always something. You know, I'm a big, you know, I write things on my hand. I'm a big keeper of to-do lists. It's funny because the last few weeks, it's been a little quieter this season. I have up to 9 events per Saturday, and I think I had 1 or 2 yesterday, too, I think. So I keep thinking, what am I missing? Because I'm caught up on my to-do list, almost. I've got a couple little projects, but I'm halfway through both of them. And it feels wrong. I've literally have had a couple, not nightmares, but woken up in a panic going, what am I forgetting? Because, you know, once in a while that does happen where you're like, oh my God, I forgot this huge deadline looming. And I'm kind of on top of things, and it feels a little odd. But yeah, you know, you've got to be very organized, I think, to be self-employed. And there's lots of to-do lists and making, prioritizing. I don't keep spreadsheets or, you know, keep track in that sense, but I'm very good about staying. And I always think there's no word for the opposite of a procrastinator. And I'm the opposite of a procrastinator. I do things a month ahead. I was actually trying to ship artwork to a friend, and she's like, last month. And she's like, the show is in December. You really don't need to send it to me in September.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want it out of my house.
Exactly.
Because when it's gone, you don't see it and think, oh, I could redo
it's
that, or I can
you.
Tweak that, or yeah.
That's me. I'm exactly the same way. I always do things. It's early. I do it early because it nags you. It's this little hook in your brain. That is just like pulling until you get it done. And then you do it. And then I don't understand how people like wait till the very last minute for deadlines. It would drive me crazy. I couldn't sleep. I would be, like you said, I would wake up thinking, oh my gosh, I have this.
And you forget them.
I'm often early to things too, like early to events. And I'm the one that's there like 10 minutes early and everybody's like, it's the same thing. It will nag me. I cannot think about anything except getting to that place until I get there. And so I may as well just get there and be done with it. So.
And I'm the opposite. I'm always late.
Are you?
I'm late for everything. And then I'm annoyed that the food's all gone or whatever it is.
But what advice, do you have any advice would you give to someone that's just kind of starting out? Whether they're, would it be different if they were young or if they were an adult that's like coming back?
One, don't expect to make a living out of it. I don't make a lot of money. I say I'm a professional artist. That's how I make my living. Well, yes and no. I will do work the occasional airport greeting job or whatever, and, you know, do these little things on the side for extra money. So, but I trade for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I trade for haircuts. I trade for chiropractic. I trade for, I don't know, I've traded for house painting. I've traded for landscaping. So don't think that everything has to be money to be a transaction. You can trade for a lot. You can also, and I have a huge art collection. I trade for 90% of that. And people say, well, they probably don't want it. Well, let them tell you that.
Yeah.
And they're flattered. It's like getting asked out for a date. Whether you like the person or not, you're still flattered and you think higher of them for asking you for having such good taste. So, you know, whether they say yes or no, at least ask. And most of the time they say yes. So there's just so many different forms of exchange that don't involve, you know, money. So it's not an either or. For the artist, I would also say, you know, don't expect instant success. It's you know, everybody wants to have an art show right away. You know, my students are like, well, I want to have a show now. Well, how about if you wait 5 years? You can have a show now, but it's probably not going to be a very good show.
Yeah.
Why not just wait? It's like you don't go, you know, you don't ski down the mountain after your first year of skiing classes.
Right.
You stick to the bunny slope for a little while.
Yep.
So it's like anything else. And my mother took a drawing class somewhere along the line. She was a senior in Florida, and she always studied. She always took classes right until she died, which I thought was cool. You know, she went and studied opera in Italy, and then she went and took olive oil making class in Santa Fe. I don't know. She just did all these wacky classes with senior, some kind of senior extension thing. But somewhere along the line, she took a drawing class, and she called me saying, well, it was hard. And she didn't last. She dropped out, but that just tickled my funny bone that she thought what I do for a living is so easy, you know. But yeah, it's going to be hard in the beginning. Anything you do is going to take some effort and time, and like anything else, you know, you don't become an accountant because you can add two and two.
Yep.
So, you know, it's time and effort. I have a friend who draws 20 minutes a day, come hell or high water, if it's 4 a.m. and he forgot, well, too bad.
Yep.
You draw for 20 minutes at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's really good discipline. Do I do it? Hell no. you know, and I tell my students, you have to stand at the easel. Do I stand at the, no. But listen to what I say, not what I do. But you know, the more rigorous you are in learning anything and pursuing it, the better you'll get, like anything else in life. People always think, well, you can draw or you can't. That's not true at all. Some people draw better, mm-hmm. but anyone can learn to draw, and mm-hmm. especially teaching beginning. And I say draw, I also mean painting. Painting's just drawing with color. But I'm just shocked at how good some of my beginning students are.
Well, I think that is like that. I think that's, it's the life part. It's the life you build. The art is one mm-hmm. thing, but I think that's one of the major rewards. It's not the money, I mean, mm-hmm. whatever, but it's the people, the other, being surrounded by other creatives.
Yeah, no, and I that's how I went off on that tangent of other than politics, because I really have a very lucky, wonderful life. I had free tickets to a film festival this week, and I had free tickets to a play at the, you know, professional theater. I usher at a lot of theaters. That's another thing. I usher. If I want to do something, I do it for free. I volunteer as a way. If there's a $200 auction, art auction that I can't afford to go to, well, I volunteer, or I donate art, but I volunteer just as much. But, I had like three lovely, I got asked if I would lead an art delegation to Africa next year.
Oh, yes. Wow.
I've led them to Cuba twice. I've led them to Eastern Europe, to Berlin, Prague, and Budapest. I did it to China. I do have to pay my airfare, but other than that, they cover everything. And it's just great. And, mm-hmm. you know, how lucky am I? And Africa's been on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I'd mentioned that in passing to this woman. The same person has organized my other trip. So, mm-hmm. It's not this huge coincidence. But she said, you want to go to Africa? Since we are now, I was going to go to Cuba a third time, but I think that's not looking good. So she said, let's do Africa instead. Hell yes.
Yeah, where in Africa are you going?
Well, this was the 2 days ago email.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking probably just Johannesburg, Cape Town, mm-hmm. and maybe one of the game preserves just for a few days.
Oh, wow.
So not animal focused, even though I love animals, but I want to focus. I like to do contemporary art.
Yeah.
We each of these trips, we've met with artists. We've gone to visit their studios. We go to museums and galleries.
South Africa's on my bucket list, too.
Come!
I would love to.
Come!
I would love. I have been in love with South Africa. I was watching a documentary. I can't remember the name of the documentary I watched when I was a child.
Uh-huh.
I've been in love with South Africa. And so.
Well, and she's going, well, do you want to go to Mozambique? Do you want to go to Tanzania? Do you want to go to Zimbabwe? I just say, I want to go to Africa. You know,
You're
showing
right.
my ignorant American roots. But South Africa seems like a lot of the more contemporary art. Mm-hmm. So I figure we'll see. And, you know, even that, she said, don't worry, it doesn't have to be, you know, we can start with this and then get more adventurous in later years.
Yeah.
So, so I was looking at another tour. Actually, several of my friends are leading trips to mm-hmm. Africa, and I was cheating off of what they were doing.
So, see, this is the life, right?
Yeah, it's a great life.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky. You know, and I hear all the time of the, oh, you do a lot for other people. Yeah, I do. I actually do. I spend part of every day writing birthday cards and thank you cards and mm-hmm. making people birthday cakes and whatever. But one, it's a good way to procrastinate being out in the studio. So I'm getting something out of it. And then two, you stay on your good side. Yeah. And then they, you know, they invite you to things. And,
right.
And there's a, you know, it's not all calculated in my brain, but it seems like simple etiquette 101, but also self-interest 101, you know, yeah. Be nice to people and they're going to be even nicer to you.
Well, you create an, you know, you create an atmosphere, right? This is the atmosphere. It's like, we're going to be nice to each other and
yes.
You're creating that atmosphere and then people come into it and then it's back.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so, you know, you give a little and you get a lot.
Yeah.
You just, it is such a, it's just bizarre to me that people aren't aware of that simple concept of,
yeah.
You know, people, and people like being helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, I tend to say the same things over and over, and I know I've said this before too, but we all like to be useful, like you were saying about the chairs, and I'm the same way. You know, I'm an ex-waitress. I'm always the one picking up dishes at
right.
the party. One, it takes our mind off our own, oh, am I saying something stupid? Am I blah, blah, blah. But we, it's also, you like to be of service. It's a, you know, you want to help somebody across the street, whether they want you to or not.
Yeah.
And it helps them, helps you.
Yeah.
You feel better about yourself. You know, the same way, like, every time you fall in love, which is very rare these days for me, but you feel so much better about yourself
yeah.
when you're with somebody new who thinks highly of you.
Yep.
So, you know, fall in love with a stranger every day. You know, do something nice.
Well, thank you very much. I think that's a good place to wrap up.
Oh,
go ahead. What do you have?
Can I throw in one
absolutely.
More?
Do you have anything? Yeah.
Yeah, just because I'm on this rant and I'm kind of proselytizing about this, I just want to include the fact that I am I have 31 years of sobriety
mm-hmm.
from alcohol and drugs. 90% of this good stuff, I would say 99% of it happened after I stopped the drinking and drugs because I had so much more focus, more
yeah.
time, and more money.
Yeah.
So part of what when you said, well, how do you find it? It's like, oh, yeah. So I figure I should add that a little somewhere in the line just because it's instead of talking about it, sitting on a bar stool and planning big things that I never took action because I was too busy nursing a hangover or
mm.
or and also I think my self-confidence increased
mm-hmm.
with sobriety because there was a lot of self-loathing
yeah.
in there prior. So that has been a huge difference in my life, many years, but a huge, you know, that's definitely a big factor in what I do.
So, okay, well, thank you very
thanks.
Much. Yeah. Where can we find out more about you? How can we see your work and art cars and everything?
Look at my website, which is kellyspot.com, www.kellyspot.com, which is supposedly under renovation, but I've been saying that for years. So somebody has tackled it. I'm completely illiterate computer-wise other than email and surfing. I'm in 4 or 5 shows on any given day. I always have to go look at and look it up to see where I am. I will be in the Virago one with you. I'm in a Trump This show at the Art Car Museum in Houston, Texas, so that might be over by then. I'm in several ERA shows, so I would have to look up exactly where I am. But I'm in quite, you know, I exhibit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing. People think, oh, you paint all the time. No, you drive and deliver art all the time.
Right, no doubt.
And you make and make tags and you most of art in making at least.
Schlepping art. That yeah, is the, schlepping that's what you want to do for
and,
a living. That is what you
inventorying and oh, damn, I forgot to pick that up.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a lot of keeping track.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
thanks.
Well, good. There'll be more. You could find out more about Kelly, and I'll put a link to her website and some of the things that she's done in the blog post that will accompany this podcast. But other than that, it's been great having you.
This was fun.
Yeah, I've had a really good time. I've had wonderful conversations with you before, and I knew that this would be good. So that'll be it for today's episode of Original Lines. Many thanks to Kelly Lyles for joining us, and thanks to you for listening. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other popular podcasting service, many other popular podcasting services, or go to our host website, www.twoponiespress.com, for direct downloads. Be sure to like and subscribe, please, and we love reviews. Tell us how we're doing. Till next time, keep on making amazing things.